In the pursuit of truth and common sense in an unbelievable world, you're listening to the Right Mind Podcast with your host, Todd Showalter.
Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Showalter, and welcome to Right Mind. Today, my guest is Andy Barker. He spent the last 30 years as both an officer and an enlisted person in the United States Navy. And in that time, he's seen a lot of changes. He's also a good friend of mine. How's it going, Andy? How you been?
Why, hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you told me before you'd rather be introduced as Lionel Richie, because why is that?
I'm easy like Sunday morning, baby.
Okay, that's good. I can see where this is going to be a fun interview. And I, as I said, I know you well. We worked on stuff. We do film work together, all kinds of good stuff. But you spent 30 years as a serviceman or as an officer and an enlisted person. Thank you for your service, as everybody should always say, in the United States Navy. So when did you – I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes. When did you actually enlist in the Navy?
So I enlisted on my 18th birthday in December of 1988.
Okay. All right. And so from there, I mean, you became what? You were a sailor, and you worked your way up, and then you eventually became an officer. So you've seen the whole gamut of the Navy itself. How did you become an officer once you were an enlisted person?
Well, you know, that took a lot of, it really took a lot of soul searching. At the time I put in for the package, I was senior enlisted. So it was a tough decision to go from that back to the bottom of the barrel, if you will, you know, coming in as an O1, an ensign. And the reason I did it was I wanted to set myself up for success in retirement. I was what was called an independent duty corpsman in the Navy. And essentially what that is, it's very similar to a physician assistant. And we go out independently on ships, submarines, marine units, special warfare, CBs, independent of a medical officer. So we're it. We are the, in a lot of cases, the sole medical provider. I was on two submarines, and I was the sole provider for 140, 150 crew members.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
you talk about stress. That's pretty high stress job.
Especially being on a submarine. I mean, that's pretty, you know, close quarters, much less having to deal with all that pressure of taking care of medical issues and things like that. Now, how many years were you then as an officer then before you just retired, what, about a year ago?
2 years ago. As a matter of fact, June 1st is my anniversary for retiring.
30 years. That's very admirable. Well, here we go. I want to ask you a few questions, and I think you know where this is going. The military has obviously changed a lot, hasn't it? I mean, we've gone from a patriotic rah-rah to this woke kind of situation that we have going on now in the military. What, I mean, from your standpoint, now you've actually been in it. We don't need any of this, you know, as far as this blowing smoke that we get on television or we hear through the airwaves. I mean, you've actually been in the trenches. You know how it is. What's going on? As our military, is this really something we have to worry about?
Absolutely. 100% we have to worry about it. Our readiness right now is in such a poor state. Can I cuss? I don't know if I can.
You can do anything you want. I bought my license to allow you to cuss.
And so
it cost me an extra $5, but it's okay. Go ahead.
Well, you know, they say, you've heard the phrase, cussing like a sailor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I am a sailor, so therefore you guys cuss like me. So we'll just get that out of the way now.
That's perfect. I like it.
I'm going to try to behave, but sometimes I slip. Anyway, to answer your question, right now what's happening is we are, and I say we, the military on a whole, has turned into a giant social experiment because our senior leadership does not have the balls to stand up and say, hey, that's not our mission. You know, our mission in the military is to not only protect, but to go out there, fight and win the wars that we have to from our enemies. And there's many, many enemies. You know, when we take the oath, we say to serve, you know, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I think that's a very valid point nowadays. I'm not saying let's go out and take over the country, but we're living in a socialist society right now, and that has definitely creeped into the military mindset.
Right. When do you say, okay, so, I mean, this obviously isn't something that just, boom, happened overnight. I mean, when did you see the first inklings of this starting to creep in?
Under the Clinton administration.
Really? Okay. Absolutely. And how did that begin? I mean, what happened? I mean, go ahead.
Started with the whole political correctness. So you couldn't say certain things. We worry about people's feelings. And in the military, it's not our job to worry about your feelings. It's our job to, I'll give you the prime example. I spent over a third of my career serving with the Marine Corps as a combat corpsman. And I served with an infantry battalion. And the mission of an infantry battalion is to locate, close with, and destroy the enemy. It doesn't jive with your woke or your political correct ideology.
Right. Right. Have you gotten any feedback as far as, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, what are the inside guys think? I mean, do you have guys that went into the military thinking I'm here to protect and serve and defend the Constitution? And I mean, are they being demoralized when they're like faced with this stuff?
Totally. Now, you would be surprised at the amount of liberals that are in the military.
Really? Okay.
It makes me shake my head. I can't understand it. But anyway, I'll give you a great example. When I was stationed in Japan, this was very shortly after they had lifted the ban on being gay to be in the military. Well, it went from that to now we're going to have transgender training. Blows my mind. But anyway, I was working in the ER. I had just come off of a night shift and I had to go to mandatory transgender training. And
mandatory transgender training.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just need to regroup.
Don't,
go ahead.
Yeah. Don't try to think about it because you'll drive yourself crazy. It makes absolutely zero sense.
Right. Okay.
I could go on a soapbox about that forever. However, I'll keep it short. So I'm coming off a night shift. I have to go to this training. I end up having to sit in the back with a bunch of senior officers. And I'm talking to a friend of mine. And I'm venting. I can't believe we have to sit through this, right? We're a fighting force. But now we're having transgender training. Well, one of the senior officers took issues with that. And she tried to pull me aside. And tried to berate me a little bit. And I said, listen, you can make me go to this training all day long, but you will never make me change my ideology on something that is so obviously wrong and so obviously a mental disorder. And I told her, I said, listen, you think ISIS, China, North Korea, pick an enemy at this point. Do you think they're training on transgender? I said, no, they're training to kill you. And had you been anywhere and done anything, you might have realized that. And that's where I screwed up by saying that.
Well, that's where you screwed up. Why? What happened?
Well, I'm basically telling a senior officer to go F herself.
Oh, essentially. Okay. Right.
But what?
No, I was going to say you've seen a lot of combat. I mean, you were, you were in Iraq. I mean, you were all over the place. So you've actually seen what the actual death, destruction, the toll that's involved in this. You're not just some guy sitting at a desk, you know, coming out with policy about what pronouns we're going to use if you're in the army or some crap. Okay. Right. So, what were some of your experiences on the front line? I mean, would this kind of stuff have benefited you in any way when you were out trying to defend the country or, you know, defend yourself?
It is 100% a total distraction from the mission.
Okay, well, obviously, I can see how it could be, but what were other people saying?
Frontline guys, mainly, it's all horseshit. We don't have time to worry about that kind of ridiculous crap when you got rounds coming in, and you're exchanging rounds to send them back downrange. I can tell you firsthand, ISIS, Al Qaeda, they don't care about politics. They use children. They use women to, you know, basically as suicide bombers. They threaten their families. They kidnap the whole family. And they will tell these, you know, these kids and their parents, essentially, if you do not do this mission, we will kill all of your family. And they do. So it's very frustrating talking about it, to be perfectly honest.
I understand. Well, yeah, okay. But, and again, it goes back, and then you've got people dealing with life or death issues, not just with themselves, but with children. And then you've got our military leaders, so to speak, are those controlling the leaders that are concerned about political correctness, wokeness, stuff like that. There's got to be somebody in the room saying, with a little bit of common sense, saying, wake the hell up. I mean, nobody cares about this crap. I mean, this isn't what we're doing here. This isn't why we're here. Is there anybody, or if there is somebody, are they afraid to speak up?
There's a lot of that. The individuals that do speak up, your career's ended, basically. As an officer, all it takes is a letter of reprimand one time, and you're essentially done. You can't advance anymore. You'll be passed over. So there's people that are in it for themselves. I like to call them WIFMs, what's in it for me. And they're ticket punchers, right? They'll do whatever it takes to punch that ticket to get to the next rank. And then there's people like me who retired as an O3 because my mouth gets me in trouble, who, well, let's just face it, I'll call a spade a spade.
Yeah, sure. Well, and as you should. I mean, we're defending the country, for God's sake. So, all right. So you said it started during the Carter administration from when you first saw it. Clinton. It's progressed to this.
I'm not that old. Clinton, not Carter.
Did I say Carter? I'm sorry. See, I am that old. But I digress. I'm sorry. The Clinton administration. And it's now it's gone all the way to our head. I mean, the head of the, isn't that, is it the Navy? Was it Levine, or is it, isn't that the, who's the head of the Navy right now? What's her name?
If I remember correctly, it should be Admiral Gilday.
Okay. Oh, who's this? Who's the Levine? Is that, who am I talking about?
You might be talking about the Joint Chiefs. I'll be honest. When I retired, I closed that book, not only that chapter, but I closed that book.
Okay. Well, yeah, because it's hard to. Okay. Well, and I'm not going to talk about something I'm not 100% on, but we've got, like, you know, anyway, these leaders, these people leading our troops that are now cross-dressers. Okay. And you've got to have other countries just laughing their ass off at this. I mean, my question is, what's it going to lead to? What do you think is going to happen? I mean, do you think we're going to be, you know, faced with something where we're going to say, well, I wish we would have woken up a little bit sooner? I mean, are we on the verge of something that's really catastrophic that we have time to protect against it now? But do you think if we don't, something horrible is going to happen?
For sure. We are already on the slippery slope. So your audience knows, I have suffered a traumatic brain injury. So I have a lot of problems with my memory. Uh-huh. And a lot of times I know what I want to say, but I can't get it out. So I don't, If I look like an idiot, number one, I am. But number two, there's a reason behind it.
This is fine. This is great. And I don't want you to delve into anything you feel uncomfortable with. It's just really... To me, I can't. There are certain things I just can't wrap my head around. Okay, and one of it is just the lack of logic and common sense that seems to be just, you know, not only, you know, running fluently in our country, but promoted at this point. And when it gets to the point of our military, where, I mean, come on, that's what we count on to protect the country from outside adversaries and anything else. And when we let this nonsense pollute that, we've got everybody in trouble. One thing, and I'm going to shut up here and let you talk a little bit more, because you're the guest, obviously, but we're having a hard time. I was at a couple of conferences recently where they're having a hard time getting people to enlist. They got people, I mean, we're at the lowest now of enlistment, I think, in history. I mean, this has got to play a part in it.
You're stealing my thunder.
Okay,
that's exactly where I was going next.
I'll shut up then.
But it's a great segue.
Yeah,
recruiting is at an all-time low. Retention is at an all-time low. They're offering, I'll give you an example, nuclear-trained individuals in the Navy, depending on what their job is, they're offering them $100,000 to reenlist. That's insane. They can't keep them.
Really?
Yeah, it's and there's a lot of other rates that are, and a rate for your listeners is basically your source job.
Okay. In the Navy.
For example, my source rate was corpsman. So I was a corpsman for 21 years before I crossed over to the dark side. But the point is that we can't keep them in and we can't get them in. In fact, this is so disturbing, and I promise you I'm not making this up. You've probably heard of it. They've gone so far as to use a active duty cross dresser or drag queen, if you will, for recruiting purposes. I'm sorry, but what the hell are we doing, man?
Yeah. And if you're trying, what? Yeah. And I mean, so, and everybody else that's normal, I mean, this has got to be kind of a deterrent. Like, I don't want to be a part of this group.
Completely.
I mean, do you think, okay, and I've also heard, well, we may have to bring the draft back. Well, how's that? I mean, if you bring the draft back, so now you got people that don't want to be involved to begin with. I mean, one of the benefits, I think, of the military and for now, or at least it was in the past, you had people that really wanted to be there. You know, this is what I want to do. This is either my career. I feel passionate about my country. We had a lot of people after 9/11 that felt patriotic and wanted to get on board. And now if you start saying, well, you got to do it, and I want to be around a bunch of drag queens and everything, I don't think the morale is going to be very good on that. I mean, I guess what I'm asking, Andy, I mean, is there any clear cut, fix for this aside from just, you know, pulling the plug and starting all over?
The military is kind of cyclical, right? We have gone through these very similar scenarios in the past. We had the Vietnam, you know, there was a draft during the Vietnam War. As a matter of fact, that was the last time that we have had a draft. With that being said, you know, you're still required by law to register with Selective Service when you turn 18. And the writing's on the wall because there's a bill in front of Congress, and I don't remember if it's been passed or not. Females have always been exempt from registering with Selective Service. They are trying to make it mandatory now where not only the males sign up, but the females have to sign up as well. I have a daughter. I don't want her signing up for that. It's funny how in the military, the old people who get us into these problems are the ones that send the young people to their deaths.
Right. I know. And it seems like they're the ones that benefit from it too. Because, you know, there's no surprise that there's money in war. And, you know, as long as they're not the ones, you know, putting their life on the line, so be it. What are they going to do, Andy, when, you know, you got a guy that now identifies as a woman, but she's not eligible for the draft because now you're a woman? How would that work? What? That's really a quandary, isn't it? I guess that's something we'll have to cover on another show.
Well, if you ask me, what was your birth? What was your sex at birth? Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. So if you were Sam and now you're Sally, well, you're still Sam and your ass is going to sign up and serve.
Right. Well, you know, but, you know, again, that's all that goes against all the, you know, the wokeness and everything. And, correct. You know, God knows where we go with that. Okay. I'm going to digress a little bit here. Sure. So we've got the, you know, the wokeness and all that. And that's obviously, you know, a deterrent and also destroying the morale and God knows what else in the United States military. We now have a commander in chief that my listeners and viewers know that I'm not a fan of. I'll make that known. This whole debacle with Afghanistan back, you know, in the way back or whenever, a year and a half ago, or whenever the hell it happened, that, I mean, along with the morale that we've got going with the wokeness and all this other crap, what about our commander in chief? I mean, that can't be, I mean, I don't see, is there a lot, I can't see people going rah-rah around Joe Biden. I mean, is that true?
Well, let's just face it. Nobody voted for Joe Biden. Yeah. They voted to get Trump out of office.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And Biden was just the product of that frenzy, if you will. But most people I know, myself included, although by law, I'm not allowed to talk ill of our commander in chief, but I'm retired now. What are they going to do? Take away my birthday? He's a laughing stock, right?
Right.
I can't. Well, they took my hair away already, obviously. But
well, you know,
so he's a laughing. We are a laughing stock on the world stage. He is so pathetically weak in his foreign policy and just about every other policy that he has that we're a joke. We're a joke. And this happened in the Carter administration as well, since you brought up Carter earlier.
Carter. Okay, now we are talking about Carter.
Now we'll talk about Carter. But this happened during the Carter administration with the hostages in Iran and his weak leadership and failure to produce their release. It took Reagan to come into office, a strong Republican, to secure the release of those hostages and to tell the world, hey, look, there's a new sheriff in town. And, you know, you want to, what's the famous phrase? Pardon me, fuck around and find out.
Okay, sure.
Or play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. And Reagan was a no-nonsense individual. I don't know how you feel on, well, I do know how you feel. I don't know how your listeners feel on Trump, but you can't dispute the facts when it comes to Trump. Yeah, he's kind of a deuce with his personality, but he got things done. You know, we were not a laughingstock. China was afraid of us. He put all these tariffs and taxes on China and put them in check. If you notice, as soon as he came out of office and Biden came in, China and Russia are going crazy. We've had many close calls. We've had a lot of their jet and their bombers, you know, coming close to American territory, strafing ships, especially China strafing ships in the by Taiwan. They're trying to exert their dominance, and our so-called fearless leader is letting them get away with it.
Yeah, we have a spy? There's like something in Cuba going on now too, aren't they? Building a spy base or something like that. I don't know. I'm no expert, but to me that seems a little suspicious.
Totally. So Cuba, with them only being 90 miles away, it's very easy for China or Russia or both to come in and to, you know, basically supplement them with their military. And it doesn't take much, especially nowadays with technology, to be able to use some of that equipment to spy on what we have going on. We have a couple very important bases in Florida. I probably won't mention what they are and what their roles are. I'll just leave it alone.
But okay, anyway, but they're important bases. They, you know, I mean, they make a difference.
Headquarters type bases for some very particular units.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they're trying to spy on them. It's not good at all. And I'm trying to simplify things, break it down Barney style, because I'm not sure how in depth I can go on certain topics without getting my pee-pee whacked, if you know what I mean.
I understand. But you got stuff even like, well, we got spy balloons flying over. We've got, spy bases being built in Cuba. And then we got, Mr. Magoo in chief that appears to just be nonchalant and like, you know, there's no big deal. When you've got, you know, the average Joe on the street saying, hey, wait, this isn't right. That said, when it comes to where your background is, that's got to be even more damaging to the morale of the military, is it not?
It's a huge slap in the face.
Yeah, I would think so.
Completely. And I'll tell you, you know, I was in the medical field for those 30 plus years. My last command that I worked at in the role of a medical provider, we had several transgender dependents that we had to take care of when they'd come to the ER. And it was so uncomfortable for everyone because the command was all about rah, 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 transgender, this, that, the other. But you had to ask them, were you born a male or a female? And it's very pertinent in the medical world for obvious reasons. And if your listeners need me to break it down, I will. But
no, they're pretty smart.
Yeah. You treat, well, there's certain conditions that you have to treat that are male related and female related. And regardless of the hormones or medications that you're on, you're still, for example, a male to female, you're still a male, and you still have certain equipment, if you will, that females don't. And I'm not talking about the obvious twig and berries, but, you know, prostates and hormones are different regardless of what kind of therapy you're on. So
chromosomes, that's kind of a big thing. Chromosomes.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of hormones, do you know how to make a hormone?
This is going to be one of your Andy jokes. I think I know where you're going with this.
Pair of $20.
Yeah, there you go. I told you. Okay. That's what you get extra on The Right Mind, folks. You get Andy's humor along with his military commentary.
And I apologize.
No. That's good. That was a good segue there, as you said earlier. And we are going to segue a little bit here because, as we said, I said earlier, you've seen a lot. You've dealt with a lot of trauma. You've dealt with also helping a lot of people. I understand now, as you move forward in your career, you're going to be going into counseling. And what were you saying, that you want to be helping other people, veterans and things like that, that are suffering, and you're pursuing a counseling degree as we speak? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I'd love to. So I belong to an organization called the Wounded Warrior Umpire Academy, and I'm very proud of this organization. It's literally saved my life. It saved so many other people's lives. And what we do is we take veterans that are 100%, or not necessarily 100%, but combat wounded veterans, whether that's either physically, mentally, or ill. We bring them in. We teach them how to be umpires. But umpiring is just such a small percentage of what we do. We use baseball as a conduit to bring these veterans together, to give them a sense of purpose again, to give them that camaraderie and that brotherhood that they've been missing since they've been out. And we help them assimilate back into civilian society by being umpires. And it also gives them a way to provide community service by being an umpire. It's very important. We have a program inside the program called SDI time. And essentially what that is, if you have any Marines listening, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. SDI stands for Senior Drill Instructor Time. And in Marine Corps boot camp, the senior drill instructor will take his campaign cover off and he'll have the recruits there. And it's a time for the recruits to actually ask legitimate questions without fear of being hammered, right? So we've modeled that into our academy. And what we do there is it's a time for healing. We share our stories with each other. And the reason we're able to share our stories, it's basically, in a nutshell, peer-to-peer counseling. And we share because we're all like-minded. We've all been through very similar instances, so we can let our guards down. That fear is no longer there, because everyone that we're sitting there talking to has been there and done that and gets it. As opposed to, I'll just be honest, I'll break down a wall. I still to this day have not told my wife a lot of what I've been through, because she just wouldn't get it. And I'm not looking for a pity party, right? Which is exactly what she would give me. I'm not looking for that. But sometimes we need to unload these burdens. And the peer-to-peer counseling is great. But I know we're short for time, so I'll speed it up a little bit. This year, I was placed in charge of the SDI time, and we saved 2 lives, at least, if not more. And I was so moved by that I decided to go back to school and get my counseling degree. So working on that master's, baby.
Good for you. Good for you. That's very impressive. And you're helping a lot of people. And, you know, in these times, I'm sure that you're not going to be at a lack for people to help. So way to go, my friend. Way to go.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, I spent most of the morning on the phone today with various people.
Yeah. And you said you didn't want to go into the details, which I don't blame you. But you say you've already saved a couple of lives, which,
yes.
Yeah, well, that's admirable. And I tip my hat to you, as I'm sure the rest of the listeners do too. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me, buddy. I hope you will come back and join me again, because along with being a friend, you've got a lot of interesting stories and background, and love to have you as a regular on the Right Mind Show. Thanks for joining me.
Well, you know, thank you for having me. And let me tell you what, I had all these topics written down that I wanted to go over, but we didn't get to them.
I know, but the thing is, a lot of them, they're like, were really inappropriate, and they're not illegal in some of the states that we're broadcasting in here. So
about that. You're not near a school, are you?
Yeah, well, okay. Oh, well, and Andy will be performing some comedy later on too. No, anyway, thank you, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
All right. And hey, thank you for joining me, whether you've been watching or listening. This is Right Mind, and I'm Todd Showalter. Remember, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. Until next time, bye-bye.
This has been the Right Mind Podcast with Todd Showalter.